We've been talking about sharing the gospel with the world, and we have walked through now. This is our fourth Sunday evening, and tonight we're going to look at some practical application of some of the truths that we've had. Angela, can you pay attention to me and Logan at the same time? I'm just wondering. You look like you're having too much fun back there. We've looked at the scriptural commands from the Word of God, and some suggestions, just some things about that's happening currently. And then we've looked at a sample in Scripture. Does the matter the audience, who it is and why? Does it matter the circumstances surrounding the presentation? Can the methods, audience, and circumstances help us to learn how we engage in people? And then do the results matter? If we see someone saved or not, does that matter? Well, it obviously matters for eternity, but as far as our obedience, does that matter? And then we just kind of the last couple of weeks really walked through the book of Acts, looking at various examples of witnessing opportunities. Tonight, what I'd like for us to do is take those things that we've learned from the book of Acts and actually put them in principle form, and then try to give you some practical ways that will play out with us here and do a little bit of practicing if we get a chance. Glad you guys didn't give any testimonies. That gives me longer to preach. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the encouraging music that we've already heard tonight. And we just pray that as we embark upon a new week, work week, that You would be glorified in everything that's said and done. Be with a number of our people who are struggling physically. May You meet those needs particularly. And we love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's get these principles, and if you're copying down, you need to write quick, but I'll try to say them slowly to you and try to reference at least. We're not going to turn to every passage of Scripture because we've already done that, but kind of reference for you quickly how those played out. Number one principle, Holy Spirit power is essential for effective witnessing. Jesus told the disciples at the very beginning of the book of Acts, wait here until you're endued with power. When you receive power, what's the automatic thing that's going to happen? You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and so forth. So Holy Spirit power is essential for effective witnessing. If you want it to really reach people, then you need the Holy Spirit to work through that. Number two, boldness doesn't come naturally. We must ask for it. The disciples, Peter and those men, said, Lord, now grant unto us boldness. You would think that Peter wouldn't have to ask for that, wouldn't you? Well, maybe if we didn't have to ask for brashness, Peter would have been okay, but boldness is a different thing. It's interesting that they didn't ask for the persecutions to be relieved, but that in the midst of those that they may have boldness. So boldness doesn't come naturally. We must ask for it. Number three, God is concerned about large groups of people. God is concerned about large groups of people. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, I think it's important because there is a trend today that says primarily the church is not about winning people to Christ. In other words, you shouldn't necessarily bring people to the church to win them to Christ. That ought to be individuals' job out and about in the workplace, in the market. And though I agree it should be individuals' job, I can tell you when you look at the book of Acts, there were groups of people that came together and they preached the gospel to them. So I don't think that should be something we shy away from. But there are some out there today who would say that when you come to gather here as a church, that we should not preach the gospel. I can just tell you I disagree with that. Okay? I think the Word of God would as well. But number four, God is concerned about individuals. Not just the group, but the individuals. Remember, He sent one man out into the desert to witness to one man. He was concerned about individual people accepting the gospel and being impacted by that gospel. The fifth principle. God can use inconvenience to open opportunities to share the gospel. God can use inconvenience to open opportunities to share the gospel. You would agree that going to jail is an inconvenience, wouldn't you? Going on trial is an inconvenience. And a variety of other things that would take place. But God can use those, if you will, perceived inconveniences for us to have opportunities to share the gospel with others. And of course, multiple men did that. Paul was the most effective, I think, in that, though Peter and those in the early church stage did it as well. Number six, we can use culture around us for open doors to the gospel. We can use culture around us for open doors to the gospel. Now, I've got an illustration of this. I didn't ask him ahead of time, but I don't think he'll mind. If he does, he can tell me later, okay? Wednesday night, as we were getting ready to leave, Brother Bishop came to us and said, "Hey, I want to tell you a couple things that's happened this week that's been really kind of neat. You don't care if I tell this story, do you, Brother Jim?" I didn't think so. This is what he started doing. Dennis Running was a member of our church for a number of years, and Dennis has written a track called The Amazing Dr. Carver. And if you've never read this track, it is a wonderful story, all right? Can anybody tell me, other than you, can anybody tell me what month this is? It's Black History Month. Okay. Now, is that a cultural thing for us here in America? Sure it is. So this is what Brother Jim has been doing. He was telling me about a number of times. He's been going to people and saying, "Hey, in honor of Black History Month, could I give you something about a man that was an incredible black man? This guy here." And he has had tremendous response. A number of times he's been able to say, "By the way, can I give you a second one? Amazing Grace." And then he says this, "This man was a slave trader, and this man was a slave, and they both found the same thing." One guy said to him, "You mean Jesus?" Okay, what I'm saying is that is a great opportunity to use the culture around us to open up an opportunity to share the gospel. Did you pick up a bunch of these yet? Have you met him yet? Got a whole box of them. He called Brother Running and said, "Hey, I need more of this." Brother Running said, "I'll give you all you need. So if you want some, you got to probably have to force them from him, but you can get some nevertheless out of him." All right. So just an example of using the culture around us for open doors to the gospel. Number seven, we must use the word when presenting the gospel. We must use the word when presenting the gospel, not just your testimony, not just the historical facts about it, but the actual word of God, because it is what's going to change lives. All right, so we must use the word when presenting the gospel. Number eight, principle. We should mix story and scripture when communicating our testimony. So we should mix story and scripture when communicating our testimony. You remember how Paul, in that, towards the end of the book of Acts, we talked about masterfully wove through that his historical facts about the gospel that happened to him on the road to Damascus and this. But he clearly used the word of God, used the gospel all the way through that. So he mixed the two of them. And I think that's a great way to do that. And that story I recommended last week, you look at that and write down your own story. I think it's a great way. Number nine, when possible, ask for a decision. When possible, ask for a decision. I'm not sure why I'm so dry tonight. Hopefully you don't think I'm dry tonight, but I've already downed one of these cups of water. Remember when Paul's standing before the court and he says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And he says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He said, "I would altogether, not almost, but you'd be just like me except for these bonds." Paul was calling for an invitation. Now, he didn't always get that chance. You're not always going to get that chance. You may be passing a grocery store attendant or someone at the gas pump or whatever. But I think when possible, ask for that decision. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Number 10. The audience can change the presentation, but the gospel is essential, okay? The audience can change the presentation, But the gospel is essential. Remember, as we looked at the book of Acts, there were times when they would give a detailed, if you will, expose of Old Testament history, if they were talking to Jews. But that didn't really do Gentiles any good. They would go a different direction. But always the gospel was there. And I think, again, I think that's very, very important. I had a pastor, one of the men that taught me to lead people to Christ, said, if you go into a home of a Catholic and they have a Catholic Bible, use it. Because it's an Old and New Testament. It's fantastic. It's got the apocryphal books in the middle. But you can get to John 3:16 and the Romans Road and so forth and so on right out of their Bible. Now, they've never heard it, more than likely. But you can use that. And that the Word of God there. Okay, so the audience can change the presentation. But the gospel is essential. Number 11. Our responsibility is to share the gospel. Ours is not to get, if you will, force a decision. Ours is the presentation of the gospel. God will draw people to himself and will use that. When we can, we'll use an invitation, but it's our responsibility to share the gospel. Number 12. We should be ready for a defense of the gospel. We should be ready for a defense of the gospel. Remember, there were a number of occasions in which men were, the Greek word that we use was to argue, to banter back and forth, to be able to defend their position. And so, I don't think you are to set out to be an arguer, but there are times when you can say, hey, well, wait a minute. Well, what about this text, and what about this text, and so forth. Brother Tessanier this morning was asking me about some men who believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Okay, and how do you deal with those men and so forth? Those are ready to defend your position. So be ready for a defense of the gospel. Number 13. Be aware of opportunities that come your way. Be aware of opportunities that come your way. You ever got to a point where you drove away from a situation and then you realize, oh man, I totally missed that one. Matter of fact, when you think back on it, you could have drove a Mack truck of the gospel through that opportunity and you can't believe you missed that. You know, or somebody makes a statement that was very clearly basically asking, you know, do you have any idea how to help me here? And you missed it. Ask God, Lord, would you help me? Be aware of those opportunities. Be looking for them. We talked a little bit last week. Not every door you push is going to open, but none of the ones you don't push. So continuously try to get to a point where you can at least share somewhat of the gospel with them. And then number 14. Forget your needs when opportunities arise. Forget your needs when opportunities arise. Pride can cause me to not use them. See, Paul really should have been about trying to get himself out of jail. That wasn't what he was about. Paul was more concerned with sharing the gospel at his trials than he was the defense of where he should be. Now, he did give a defense there, but he was primarily concerned about preaching the gospel to men who, up to that point, had rejected the gospel. It probably did not help him to preach to the judge that was in charge of whether or not he could release him. But Paul's concern was not about what he needed. Those of you that listened to chapel or were in chapel, I used, and I think I mentioned it last week as well, reading the second book, Pastor Caleb's great-grandfather. It's a tremendous book. I'm almost done with it. By the way, at the end of the book, I'm almost done with the end. He says Volume 2 and Volume 3 will be published later, which, as far as we know, they never were. We do know where his journals are. I'd love to own those someday. I'm not going to tell you where they are right now, but we're going to try to get them if we can. But he was in one of the villages, and they said to him, they arrested him, getting his stuff, and then they said to him, if you will stop preaching the gospel, you do not have to go to jail. And in his journal, he said, "So I went to jail." That's great stuff. I love it. You know, if you got an option, don't preach the gospel, go to jail. I think I'll go to jail because I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. So forget about your needs when the opportunity arises. Pride can cause me to not use them. It can cause me to focus on this instead of the needs of the others. Now, maybe you've come up with some other truths from the study in the book of Acts, and we can maybe add those to it a little bit later on. We'd certainly love.